Annie's going to speak this morning. Do you want to come up, Annie? That's great. You can have an applause even before you start. I have to say, too, if you get one at the end, that really counts. Let's pray for Annie, shall we? Father, we just want to thank you for Annie. We want to thank you for all you've done in her life. We want to thank you for all you're doing and are going to do. And we ask, Father, that you would fill her with your spirit right now. We ask, Father, that you would use her and speak through her, that we would hear your voice through her this morning. Bless her, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. How are you today? We've got new faces here. Can you put your hand up if you're new today? Yes. Oh, Lydia. Yeah. Welcome. it's a privilege to be here in the house of God, and you're all very, very welcome. It's Mothering Sunday today. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, all the mother figures. If you're here and you're a mother, you're a godmother, you're a biological mother, adoptive mother, foster mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, are you all here today? Amen. God bless you. I also stand here as a child to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mother figures in my life. And as a mother myself, it's a privilege to be a mother, and I thank God for that opportunity. I thank God that he has blessed me with children, and I pray for those who are looking for children that God will bless them as well, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I also today want to thank God for the mother of the house, Esther. Is she in the house? Could please, Esther, could you please stand up? We want to say thank you. God bless you. You've worked so hard for us in the background, in the front line. We thank you. We bless you for all your hard work. Happy Mother's Day. Today, it's a privilege to stand here before you and share the word of God. I thank God for this opportunity. I thank God for Pastor Robin and the team for giving me the opportunity. And I thank God for my husband, Pastor Emmanuel, for supporting me. God bless you. It's a privilege, and I don't take that lightly. Before I go on, let's just pray before I read the word today. Father God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. The Bible shows us, and history tells us, shows us many times where every time you have gathered men, you have always done something. And Father, we are here gathered today. I pray that we receive of what you have for us today. Holy Spirit, I yield to you. Come. Come and speak through me as a vessel, Lord. Father, Lord, I thank you because you have brought so many people here today to receive of you. I pray that you touch them, that you heal them, Lord, that you empower them today, Lord. I pray that you give them a new sense of living, Lord. I pray that you will touch where they're broken. I pray that you will touch them at the point of their need. Holy Spirit, encourage them, restore them, save lives, transform lives today through your word. Your word is life. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And at home as well, we welcome you. And we pray a blessing over you. I pray that you would receive what God has for you today. Amen. The title of my message today, it's Child of God. Interesting. Not mothers. But I'll tell you about mothers, don't worry. But I want to share something about being a child of God. Was anyone here last week where Pastor Emmanuel shared about the two worlds a world without Christ and a world with Christ, and then we had the cross here. But today I want to speak from the place of where you are in the world with Christ and you are a child of God. But don't worry if you are still in the other world without Christ. This message today is also for you, and I'll give you an opportunity at the end to go through and have Jesus as your Lord and Savior and become a child of God. So I want to read from Isaiah 49, verse 15 is my main verse, but I'm going to read from verse 14 to 16 in the Amplified Version. Isaiah 49, verse 14. But Zion, Jerusalem in captivity, said, "The Lord has abandoned me, and my Lord has forgotten me." The Lord answered, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Indeed, I have inscribed a picture of you on the palms of my hands. Your city walls, Zion, are continually before me." The emphasis today is verse 15, and you'll hear me talk about it more and more. Can a woman forget the nursing child, her nursing child, and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Amen. I will not forget you. That's the word of God today. I also want to read Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verse 13, which says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Amen. So as a child of God, God is telling us that even though he's comparing the idea of a mom being nurturing, mothering, caring, and not forgetting her child. He's saying, even if she forgets, I will not forget you. And this is so important. It's so important because as you read through the Bible, I've got some examples from mothers in the Bible who have shown so much love, so much care, so much nurturing towards their children. And even in the present day, mothers, we all mothers, those who are, you know how connected you are with your children. But yet God says, can she forget? But even if she forgets, I will not forget you. So let's just go through. I've got some examples from the Bible, some mothers that have shown love, care, nurturing. The first one is Hagar. Do you know who Hagar is? Do you know her son? Ishmael, yep. So in Genesis 21, verse 16, it talks about how Abraham had let Hagar and Ishmael go in the wilderness, and at some point they ran out of food, but Hagar loves her son so much she didn't want to see him die. So she said, the Bible says in Genesis 21, verse 15, "When the water in the skin had gone, Hagar abandoned the boy under the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, about a bow shot away. For she said, 'Do not let me see the boy die.' And she sat down opposite him. She raised her voice and wept." She didn't want to be there seeing him suffer and dying of thirst. And so she just put him aside and just, you know, that's the power of a mother, the love, the care. But God heard and saved them. Amen. The angel came and showed them and said to Hagar, "Don't worry. What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy from where he is. Get up, help the boy up, and hold him by hand, for I will make him a great nation." So you know the rest of the story. The second mother figure, the second mother in the Bible. It's a lady called Rizpah. It was a bit of a tricky one because I found it difficult to pronounce. But yeah, Rizpah, is that right, Pastor Robin? So the love for her sons, it tells us in 2 Samuel 21, 9 to 10. Basically, they had killed her son, and what she did, she decided to stay by their bodies and prevent any birds or animals to eat the bodies. It says from verse 9, he handed them over to the Gibeonite, and they hanged them on the hill before the Lord, and the seven died together. They were put to death in the first days of the grain harvest, the beginning of the barley harvest in the spring. Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it over herself and spread it out for herself on the rock from the beginning of harvest in the spring until the autumn when rain fell down. And she allowed neither the birds of the sky to rest on their bodies by day nor the beasts of the field to feed on them by night. That's powerful. That's a mother looking even in death. Amen. I have another one. Her name is Hannah. Hannah was the mother of Samuel. And you remember how Hannah had Samuel and she said to the Lord that she will allow Samuel to go to the temple. But the Bible says in 1 Samuel 2, verse 19, that each time she went to the temple, she made, it says, moreover, his mother would make him a little robe and will bring it to him each year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Even though Samuel was there, she had not forgotten him. Each time she went there, she always needed something and took it to him. That's really cute, isn't it? That's really, yeah, being a mother is wonderful. I have Jochebed is the mother of Moses. When at some point she could not keep Moses anymore, she knitted a basket and put, the Bible says in the Amplified here, it tells us that she covered it with reed and covered it with tar and pitch, making the basket waterproof so the baby could be protected, and then she let him go. That is really, really loving because she didn't know what else to do. She didn't want her baby to die, but she thought, well, let me do this. Is out of love, out of care, out of nurture, and is amazing. That's the power of a mother. Amen? Amen. There's also another one in the time of Solomon. Solomon's time, we had two mothers. One had lost their baby, and the other one hadn't, and they were basically fighting for the baby. And then Solomon said, King Solomon said, well, let me cut the baby in half so that you have one each. But the mom, whose baby was the real baby, said, no, don't kill him. Give it to the other lady. And that's when King Solomon knew that she was actually the real mother, because she knew, you just have that connection. You will not let, you know, your baby die just like that. So she wanted to just give him a life in one piece. It's better that way than having half. Okay? Amen. There's many other examples I can go through. There's a Shunammite mother in 2 Kings 4 where basically her son had died, but she did not accept the death of her son. She took him, put him on the bed of the prophet where the prophet was lying. It's in 2 Kings 4, verse 20 to 22. And then she went looking for the prophet. Even when the prophet asked him, is it well with your husband? Is it well with your son? She said, yes, it's well. She did not, you know, accept that her boy would just die, and went and got the prophet to come back and pray for her son until her son was alive again. The Canaanite mother in the times of Jesus in Matthew 15, verse 22 to 28, it talks about this woman. A Canaanite woman from that district came out and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly possessed by a demon. But he did not say a word. Jesus did not say a word. And his disciple was telling, oh, no, don't worry. You know, there's nothing here for you. You're a Canaanite. We're Jews. And then the discussion went on. But what she said to Jesus, when Jesus said to her, I have nothing. I was commissioned by God and sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is not good, appropriate to take the children's bread and throw it to the pet dogs. But she said to him, even the dogs would take from the table. And that was how bad she really wanted Jesus to heal her daughter, even though she was not part of that blessing, because Jesus was there for the Jews. She wasn't Jew, therefore. But she said, look, even the crumbs, I can take the crumbs, because she didn't want her daughter to stay possessed. Amen. And finally, we've got Mary herself, the mother of Jesus. When Jesus died at the cross, the Bible says that she was there at the cross. She was there. She didn't just stay home and start crying. She stayed. She followed them. She stayed there at the cross. And she was standing there till the end. That is so powerful. That is a power of a mother. And I think God has given women mother that sense of being nurtured and, you know, nurturing, giving care, giving love. And then he uses that example to show us that even if a mother leaves her child, he will not forget us. He will not abandon us. It's such a beautiful thing. It's a trend that goes on and on and on. As I said, even today, I can share about my personal examples, my biological mother. I remember when I was a teenager, I was separated for a few years from my mother. I stayed with a family member who I called mother, and I just kind of lived in that new environment. I forgot about my mom until one day she got in touch and she showed so much care, and that just brought back so much memory. I was like, oh, wow, this is really my mom. And up to today now, you know, we have a very good relationship. I can talk to her about anything, and it just makes me really, you know, sometimes I look at myself, even though I'm an adult, I'm like, oh, gosh, it's so nice to have a mom. If you don't have a mom today, maybe your mom has passed. God will still put people in your life that will represent mother figures. Amen. I have as well mother figures. I've got a lady in London when we were going to church. That's how I gave my life to Christ. She was there from the time I gave my life. This is about 20 years ago, and she kind of nurtured us. She was the leader of the cell group, the prayer meeting that we were doing. And we looked up to her as a mother. She taught us the word of God. She encouraged us. She saw us grow spiritually. She saw us get married. She saw us get have children and move on with life. Up to today, she's got that special place in my heart. So God would put people in your heart that will represent mother figures. And don't take that lightly, because he knows the power of a mother, the power of, you know, that nurture, that love, that care. But then he says, even though a mother forgets, I will not forget you. Amen? I will not forget you. I really want you to receive that, because that's the highest type of love that God gives. The love that a mother gives is very strong, as I've shared. But God's love is higher. Amen. I've got other examples. My mother-in-law, oh my goodness. I didn't get a chance to meet my mother-in-law. Sadly, she passed away before we got married. I got married. But my husband would tell me about her, about how she cared for her son, how at the time he wasn't born again and he was giving trouble. You know, when you're not born again, trouble. But she didn't give up. She didn't give up. And when I hear those testimonies, even though I never met her, I'm like, wow, I wish she was here today. That's powerful. That is the mother, a mother, a mother. Even as my mother myself, I've got two boys, as I've said. Sometimes I remember when I gave birth, even before I gave birth, all of a sudden everything changed. I had to eat certain things and not eat certain things. I had to eat more calcium, more iron, less cheese, and all these things. And I did it. I didn't have any. I couldn't take certain medication because you're pregnant, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're in pain, but you can't take. Do you know what I mean? But I still did it because I knew I had this being in my, like, wow, it's a privilege. And then I gave birth. Everything changed again. I gave up my sleep. I gave up my work. I gave up. But I still did it. It's like God put this thing in my heart that suddenly I was a different person. And it's just that power that a mother has. But I think it's a blessing as well from God. And then God says, even though mother forgets, may forget, even if she forgets, I will not forget you. I will not forget you. In my career as a mental health nurse, sometimes I go to, we've got units, they're called mother and baby units, right? These are units that are designed to help a mother who is going through mental illness but has a baby. They try and keep them together because they know the importance of that bond, the child and the mother. And they nurture that because it's so important. They nurture it. They help, as well as they're helping treat the mother, but the baby's there. They call them mother and baby units. And also in dementia units, I've been to places where I see the elderly, bless them. Sometimes they get agitated, confused. They're walking around. But there's usually two things that help to settle them. The first thing is a cup of tea. I wonder why. I went to look it up, actually, and I'll tell you in a minute. The second thing is, usually if they're lazy, give them a baby doll. I tell you, it's amazing, it's beautiful to see. They just hold it, and then they become so settled. It reminds them of motherhood. It reminds them of being a mother, and there's that thing about being a mother. Amen? The Bible says, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion of her son? Even though she may forget, I will not forget you. But it's so strong, it's very difficult for her to forget. Even an elderly person with dementia, which means that their memory and everything is going down, is in decline, yet give them that baby doll. Suddenly, they calm down. They have that caring attitude. They're looking after the baby. The other thing I said is a cup of tea. I don't know why, but tea in England, or is even myself, I've been in England for many years now. Give me my cup of tea, I'll put my feet up, and I'll be calm. Amen? But I went to find out why. Why do we all like a cup of tea? Later on at the end, we're gonna invite you in the Reeves room to have a cup of tea, right? It's just a social thing. It's really nice. But it started in the 17th century. I looked it up, and it said that it was Queen Catherine. She came from Portugal and married King Charles II and asked for a cup of tea, and there was none in England at the time. And so since then, the tradition started. But it was more for the aristocrats, and the wealthy. It was very expensive, you know, the royal family. And the tax at the time was about 119%, so it was very expensive. Very expensive to drink a cup of tea, and you know, you have them in China cups. Very nice. But down the years, in the 1700, the new prime minister at the time managed to cut the tax of a cup of a tea from 119% to 12.5%. So it was more affordable. Anybody could have it. So now we all have tea. It's a social thing. Even in care homes, you call them Victor, not real name. Would you like a cup of tea? Yes. I mean, just like that. So cup of tea is a British thing. And we love it, don't we? Amen. So those are the two things. Even for elderly people, when they're agitated, give them a cup of tea, but also give them a baby doll if they're lazy. it just helps to settle them. That's the power of a mother. That's the power of a mother. Even scientifically, they tell you that it's important for a mom to have skin-to-skin contact with a baby because it helps the bond. It helps the baby to actually adjust physiologically. So things like the temperature, the glucose level, it would help to settle it. So as the baby is born, this is well documented in research in the Journal of the Newborn and Infant Nursing Review. So God loves us as children more than a mother loves her child. But yet I've explained to you how much love a mother would hold for her child, how much care a mother would give to her child, how much nurturing a mother. Even a mother who has mental illness, she still knows is her child. She will be admitted in a mother and baby unit and look for her and look after her baby. Even an elderly person with dementia, they still know the importance of being a mother. Today, you may not have had the opportunity to have a mother that loved you, that cared for you, that nurtured you. But God puts people in your life that would represent mother figures because it's so important to have that. And I pray that you really feel and receive that love that comes from God, because it's God who puts that love in our hearts. Amen. Receive the love of God today. Go home today. So today we've got little gifts for mothers. And I was like, I told Pastor Robin, actually, can we get gifts for men too? And Robin said, no. But the gift today, I want to give all of you, men and women, is the love of God. Amen? The love of God. God loves us so much, more than a mother loves her child. More than a mother would give up for her child. Amen? So how do you respond to that love? It's the highest, as I said, the highest and the purest type of love. You've got different types of love. You've got brotherly love. You've got romantic love. You've got what other type of love? You know, friendship love, amen. Even at that level, if you know your love, you feel bold. You feel encouraged to know that, oh, somebody loves me. But actually, there's higher love than that. God loves us higher. Is the purest love, the agape love, higher than what we think. Yes, you know, brotherly love, romantic love. God loves you more. Because the Bible says that God loves the world so much that he gave his only son, Jesus, to die for us. No one else will die for you, trust me. No one else will die for you. Jesus died for us. And he did it once and for all. So it's finished. You can move from that place without Christ to this place with Christ. All you need to do is believe that Jesus died for you and that he raised for your glory. And you just need to make that simple prayer and accept his love. Amen? Amen. Amen. Nearly done now. So as a child of God, it's a blessing, it's an honor we receive of him. When you become a child of God, you partake in the new life in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it will tell you that you've got God promises, that God will promise to abide with you through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you the guidance. He will teach you. He will show you all things. When you're a child of God, you have that boldness that nothing can be against you, because you have God with you. With God, all things are possible. Amen? He gives us the power to conquer this world. We are seated with Christ in high places as children of God. We are heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. That's in Romans 8:17. Amen. And things like divine health. Health is our promise. That's why, every Sunday you see us pray for the sick, because we believe is our portion, is our promise, and we will not let go until we see that. We believe that everyone who is a child of God should be healthy. Amen? Because that's what the Bible says. That's in 1 Peter 2:24. Because it says that by his wound we have been healed. So if you're here today and you still feel a bit of sickness in your body, I pray in the name of Jesus that the sickness will go in Jesus' name. Amen. So to finish my message today, we want to celebrate mothers. We want to celebrate mothers. It's important because it's a privilege, it's a gift. We all here as human beings have had a mother. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today. So we thank God for our mothers. We thank God for the mother figures in our lives, spiritual mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, foster mothers, very important, adoptive mothers, biological mothers. We're all here to celebrate what God has done in our lives. But yet, he says, even though they may forget, I will not forget you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love today. Thank you for your love today we receive of you. Hallelujah. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. Such a special day. Such a special day as we remember mothers today, Lord. We also remember that you will not leave us. You will not forsake us. You are with us. Father, Lord, I pray today, Lord, that each person at the sound of my voice will receive that love today, will receive that love right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Receive the love of God. If you're not a child of God yet, I just want to give you the opportunity to come and receive God. You just need to put your hand up. I'll pray. We'll pray with you. If you're here and you want to do that, just put your hand up so I know who you are, and we'll give you the opportunity to be a child of God because God loves you. Amen. If you're here and you want to make that prayer, it's a simple prayer. It's just a prayer to say, Loving Father, I thank you for your word today. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me, for raising for my glory. Forgive me my sin. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm born again. Amen. If you made that prayer in your heart, I want you to come and see one of the leaders. You got Pastor Robin, Pastor Emmanuel, or you can come and see me if you prefer, and we'll help you, to guide you through. I've done this. I did this about 20 years ago, and I've never looked back, never. I remember thinking during COVID time, how did people live without Christ? COVID came, and it was what it was. But with Christ, we had that boldness. We knew that we were with Christ. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.